So Pulse, the pulse of the gospel, it's what God has laid out for us through his scriptures, and through his teachings, and through the gift of Jesus. As we start this five-week series, each one of these letters stands for something. The P stands for paying attention. That's what Pastor Greg is going to be unpacking a little bit today. The U stands for understanding with empathy. The L is loving with connection. The S is sensing the sacredness, that the gift of compassion and the pulse of the gospel comes from our great God. And the E is embodying new life. So as we were kind of preparing for this series, we got together and we just wrote a little musical sentence that is centered on these five pieces. So we want to teach it to you right now. It's going to track with us through the series. So LJ's going to teach it right now. So please, once you get comfortable with it, join in with us.
Lord, let me see as you see. Give me eyes for those around me. Make my heart aware of the battles that are raging. Help me love as you love. Spirit, heal and restore. Lord, make us new.
That's it. Will you try it with us?
Lord, let me see as you see. Give me eyes for those around me. Make my heart aware of the battles that are raging. Help me love as you love. Spirit, heal and restore. Lord, make us new.
One more time. Lord, let me see.
Lord, let me see as you see. Give me eyes for those around me. Make my heart aware of the battles that are raging. Help me love as you love. Spirit, heal and restore. Lord, make us new.
Thankful for that gift of music that you bring, as we know that is something that we honor here. But Ryan, I got to tell you, Wander, that's the lead cut on Hillsong United's most recent disc. It also is my lead song on my playlist when I go to run. So, like, you got me amped up already. I'm like a mile into my run right now. My heart's beat. My pulse is beating fast. But thanks for those gifts of music you bring. I would highly encourage any of you who want some new music in your life to dial up, whether on iTunes or purchase it. Hillsong United's Wander is just a phenomenal disc. It will bathe you. It will lift you up at moments, but it will bring the face of God into your presence. So we're here on the first week of Pulse today. And it was about a year ago that Morgan Freeman, Hollywood's Morgan Freeman, got together with National Geographic and put together a series called The Story of God. You can drill down on it. It's available online for you to see. And questions like this: beyond death, the apocalypse, creation, why does evil exist, the power of miracles, the chosen one, heaven and hell. And they asked the question in one of the early episodes to people around the globe: who is God?
Who is God?
Who is God? The loaded question.
God is a character in a book.
God is an idea.
한 번도 본 적은 없지만 그래도 신은 어딘가에 존재한다고 생각합니다. 그래서 우리가 지금 이렇게 살고 있지 않을까요?
Bóg jest dla mnie postacią fikcyjną.
Gospod widzicie, który małkuje i zmyślny герой.
People just want something or some person to have faith in so that they can survive, and that's why they created God.
Tuhan itu adalah
God is nobody.
Ik hoop dat God iemand is met een groot hart. Maar ik weet niet of hij bestaat.
Gud betyder ingenting för mig.
Jag vet inte vad som tog. Man fritzar.
God is anything we want he, she, it to be, I suppose.
He's everywhere, or she, or it.
Bóg jest na pewno kobietą.
Господ е во всичко и во всеки и во всичко, което се случва.
There is a one God, but they have a lot of forms in all of their religions. Мато.
Bhagwan wo hai, Bhagwan Mukul Ram, jisne ye srishti ratai hai aur isko dekh rekh karta hai.
For me, according to my belief, Allah, the creator, for Muslim people, but he is the same God for all of us, actually.
There is just one God, and all the gods in our different religions, like Jesus, Ganesh ji, Krishna ji, they're just branches of him. We just like, basically, we have to see some image to, we just need some image to create in our minds.
Ni man ni tu man tai, san hai bin go hai ga chi hai yau yak.
Ο Θεός δεν είναι ένας, είναι 12 και κατοικούν όλοι στον Όλυμπο.
No es un ser humano, no es un animal, no sabemos qué es.
Ο Θεός είναι αυτό που δεν μπορεί να κατανοήσει η ανθρώπινη ύπαρξή μας.
É difícil imaginar que um ser somente criou esse mundo inteiro. Essas coisas evoluíram naturalmente. Eu não sei se você chama que Deus é a natureza.
You can't touch him, yeah? He's everywhere. You could replace God with the word love, for example.
Господ е този, който ни кара да вярваме.
God is our ultimate daddy or mommy.
Ответ на этот вопрос для меня очень прост. Бог – это вселенная.
God is love. God is light.
神是人类的一种信仰。
The God in me, the God in you, the God in the trees, the flowers.
Algo espiritual, mas é mais vivo que o carnal.
É aquilo que alimenta, que dá força a cada dos homens.
Ni como é explain.
Voy a como para hacer el suringa, Cali. Dios es todo.
Y al mismo tiempo nada.
Well, Merkaz, I'm the Shema Shalano, the Moshem Darko.
Sabine Nase Yosama.
But he is God the Almighty. Amen.
I gotta be honest, the first time I saw that and heard someone say, God is nobody, I got angry. Kind of like guarding my turf a little bit. I, you know, there are worldview responses to that big question, who is God? But in this place of worship this morning, each one of us could answer that question, and we may answer it a bit differently. If we went to downtown Naperville or downtown Chicago, did a person on the street, had a microphone and kind of put it in someone's face and asked that question, we probably would get abstract and concise and shrugs of shoulder kind of answers. And so this is a big question. In fact, when it began, that little clip, one of the women said, it's a loaded question, is it? Who's God? I believe this is something to pay attention to. I really do. I think it might seem so obvious that we would know who God is. But possibly when we come into a room like this, we do. We know because we're worshiping the Holy One. We sing praises to wonderful songs. But do we really know in our lives how to take this God of the universe and allow him to live not only through the thoughts that we have, but the heart that we feel and the hands that we act on behalf of the God of the universe? And if you know what our previous series was, Head, Heart, and Hand, Pulse follows it up. Because we want you to know the pulse of the gospel. I want you to put into action that head, heart, and hand journey. And today, we want you to pay attention. I believe it was first, second, or third grade. It was early on in my education that I was branded by a teacher. And the branding that I received was a child who didn't pay attention. I know that's hard for you to believe, right? I mean, I wasn't a mind wanderer. I just had other things that were more valuable in my life to pay attention to. I had the back of baseball cards. Memorize, Pastor Gary and I have that in common. Try to find out who had the best average over the course of time, who was hitting well in this series, who was doing well, who was not, who was hitting under the Mendoza line. It's really important to know that stuff when you're a kid. I also, as I got a little bit older, I can recite lyrics to songs, and I know band names, and I know who was in the band. And instead of reading history books, I read liner notes from albums. And for those of you who may be millennial, you might want to drill down and figure out what that means. But that's what I had in my possession. History, mathematical equation, the words from Shakespeare. Teachers were telling me that was what was valuable, and it was. But for some reason, I have my own thought process. I wasn't really paying attention to the things that were important. I caught up over time, but it was a quick catch up instead of one where I paid attention from the beginning. I've referred to my Instagram account and Twitter account. I drill down on those and keep in touch with people across the world. One of the pastors that I have gotten to be friends with is a pastor in South California in L.A. His name, Dudley Rutherford, from Shepherd of the Hills Church. And Dudley had an Instagram post a couple weeks ago. And he said this: never let the things that you think you want make you forget the things you have. Never let the things you think you want make you forget the things that you have. Who is God? Well, the Old Testament is filled with power and might. I'm going to take you to one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is Isaiah 40. It will rise you up on wings like eagle. I love that. But before we hear this, to whom will you compare me? Who's my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, calls each one by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. It's a big challenge to answer the question, who is God? There have been those who have run the spiritual race, our ancients, that we learn from in the Bible over and over again, who have tried to do it. And the way they do it is in form, image. They capture something of power that God has done long ago, and they bring it back into focus. And that is their explanation of who is God. Let me just share a few more of those with you. Psalm 19 begins this way. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Psalm 71. Your righteousness, God, it reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? One of the places you can run to get an expression of this answering the question in vivid form is Exodus chapter 15. It is there that Moses has a psalm-like just proclamation before God. Take some time to read it a little later on today. For Moses has seen God do powerful things. He has watched God come into his life, this person who thought he was Egyptian, and revealed to him, no, he's really an Israelite, and that he had in store for him great things yet to come. He would rise up, he would challenge Pharaoh to let God's people go from slavery, and he would lead God's people forth, and when he got to the edge of the Red Sea, he would hold up his staff, he would call on the name of God. He would answer that question, who are you, God? You are powerful, and the sea would part. And Psalm 15 recounts this power and moment that Moses knows happened, and he calls it into focus. And after he calls on God's powerful name, knows it was there, he says this in verse 11 of chapter 15, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them in your holy dwelling." You don't have to have a PhD to answer the question, who is God? You just need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to what God is doing in your own individual life, in the world that we live in, and God is present. Now, maybe one of the things that we can learn from the ancients is they did pay attention. And over again in these 66 books, we have this wonderful expression of people answering the question, who is God? And the way they answer it is they find places where God acted, and they allow that to rise up in majesty and holiness. And yet, in mystery, they'll say, who's like you? You are powerful. You're bigger than anything I know. As a human being, my finite brain cannot understand your infinite presence. And I think it's good for us, if we really want to know how to walk as God's people, to begin to understand that we know and can verbalize, can actively participate in answering the question, who is God? This world needs to hear that answer, and you have it in your possession. The Bible also says, no one has ever seen God. Have you ever heard that? It's recorded by one individual. His name is John. He's one of the gospel writers. He says it twice. He says it in his gospel and his first letter. No one's ever seen God. And you might say, well, never seen God. How can I explain God? We see God acting and his wonder and power and might, and we see God through ways that he's revealed himself. Listen to this from John. And first I'm going to read from his gospel, the first chapter. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, that would be Jesus, who is himself God and is closest in relationship with the Father, he has made him known. You want to know God? You want to be able to answer that question? Spend some time with Jesus. Get to know who your Savior is. The first letter of John, the fourth chapter, says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. His love is made complete in us. You know, we've never seen God, but we can't answer the question, who is God? We see God through the majestic power of Jesus. We see God through the loving relationship that we have with each other. There are two ways that John lifts up. But I thought it would be a good thing for us this morning to just ask the question, on a broad stroke, what do we know? What do we know that we can rely on day in and day out to answer the question, who is God? And so I picked the top three that came to my mind first. Top of mind. You might find some others. What do we know? We know God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, don't we? I mean, that's what I was baptized into, a presence with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This has been going on for a long time. Those who put the creeds together, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, they're creeds of the ancient church which carry into the contemporary day, and they explain this mystery of a God in his majesty. He's created all things. You know that. I was just out in the southwest region of this country, And as we made our way from Phoenix to Los Angeles, you go through the Great Sonoran Desert. As you land in Phoenix at 120 degrees, you know there's a just different environment than here in Naperville. The trees aren't there, but the cactus are. And the majestic hills that kind of envelop the Phoenix area. We went up to Sedona and saw the red rocks of that area. How beautiful and majestic. And my heart said, you are God. You are powerful. And every time I hit the Pacific Ocean, you're Lord. You created. You are my Father. You made me in your image. You knit me in my mother's womb. I know you can't look at Isla without seeing the Creator God every day. I know that. I had that opportunity 3 times to be present as my wife brought children into this earth. And every time I held that newborn in my arms, I said, this is more powerful than anything a human being can do. Who can take a sperm and an egg and allow it to build into a human being? That begins as a little child, dependent on parents, and grows in faith and can do majestic and wonderful things. We know that about God. Who's God? He is the Creator. He is our Father. He is the one who gives us life. He is our Savior, Jesus. He's the one who cared enough about who we are, sinful and unclean, broken. None of us in this room can do anything but live and die on our own. But we get to live forever by the power of the Savior. And when you think about who God is and you want to give thanks and you want to identify the God who created you, give thanks that God did not just create you and put you on this earth to leave you alone. God journeys with you. And he says, I've created something important in you, and I know as a creation you've fallen away from me. But I also know that I will redeem you, and I have. My Son went to the cross to die on your behalf. And now you have new life, and you have entry into God's kingdom. We get eternity. We know that. And we know that Jesus sent his Spirit to us, the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our guide, our director, our sustainer. Jesus said that the Spirit was needed. And the Spirit is what we know as our fuel within this church and every church, the body of Christ. And so we give thanks. We know that about God. We know he is Creator and Savior and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What else do we know about God? We know he's a lawgiver. Our God gives laws. Last time I checked, the Ten Commandments have not gone anywhere. They've been here for all generations, and I know that there's this ebb and flow conversation going on in our culture today about whether they're relevant. If you look and see our laws of this nation, they're built on the Ten Commandments. They're built on our relationship with a higher power, our God, who we know is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are built on our relationship with each other, doing it well. Love God with your whole heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. God brings law for direction. What else do we know about God? He's a compassionate God. I mean, this God, he loves the lost. He loves people who are far away from him. He loves the least of these. He says to us, care for the widow and the orphan. And although that may be an identifier of biblical times long ago, we have in our midst those who are widow and orphan in that category today. People who are lost and alone and who society just marginalizes. We are the ones responsible because God says he's compassionate. And when we identify the question, who is God, we put all of this together and we try to not only say you're God in our brain, but we also try to take the journey with God from head to heart to hand, all the while identifying who God is. Now, it's been said that the longest journey that you will take is not from Battery Park in New York City to the pier on Santa Monica in L.A. or around the world in 80 days. That's not the longest journey you'll take. The longest journey any of us will take as human beings is the 12 to 18 inches from our head to our heart. It's hard. It's hard to take what we know spiritually in our brain and allow it to ebb and flow out of our heart and then into our hands so that we answer that question through our behavior and our actions and our words every day. You are God. You are majestic. You are powerful. And we fall short of the mark. So as my mind started to click in, I started to realize, where do I fall? Where do I struggle with the big dilemma of knowing who God is, putting it into action? I'd just like to leave you this morning with a few of those areas that I know I have been trying to work on in my own personal life, and I'd like to invite you in. The first one is the obvious. Pay attention. Pay attention. I mean, you're living like I am, a busy life. You have things you're going to do this afternoon, right? And maybe you've already checked out on me and you've been thinking about them. Like, who's winning the Open? I want to go home and I want to see Jordan Spieth win that thing today. But, you know, I can't be thinking about that now. I got to be thinking about the Lord of the universe because he's the one that's giving me life. But it's so easy to leak. And when we get home tonight, we're going to, you know, get ready for the week to come. And there's lots of things. Maybe you have a vacation plan, or maybe you're getting ready for work tomorrow, or there are things that you have to do on your to-do list, and they will drive and push you, and they do. And we can't let that happen. We have to let the King of the universe guide us. We have to answer the question, who is God? And we have to pay attention to God being present first. Second thing I'd like to encourage you not to allow to happen, and this is easy also, is to fall into the mystery of God. When we hear the scripture say, no one's ever seen God, it's kind of this mystery zone, right? Fall into the majesty rather than the mystery. Read of the ancients who tell you about this powerful God who created the universe. Think about your life and how it's moved forward and just the intricacies of your human body and how it works. That God did create us and he takes us from babies up to adults and, you know, ourselves. And you know, I'm not that person who understands this completely, but I do know that our cells, they regenerate on a regular basis and they fall away. And some people have said, you know, you'll have 8, 16 of you over the course of life, because that's what happens, our life, and then we get older. But life still is being breathed into us, and there's this mystery, but there's majesty. And if you look at the majesty of God instead of just checking out on the mystery, great things can happen. But we run the risk, all of us do, of saying, how can I express who God is? I'm just this human being. He's God. And you have the ability to do that. Look around at creation. Look around at relationships you have. Look at around at the skills that you have. Look around in your bank account. I mean, if that's not a representative of who God is, he's given us everything that we have, and we live in an affluent neighborhood, community, and country. But all too often, we look at the mystery, or we look at none of the above, we think, where are you, God? Another dilemma we can fall into is compartmentalizing what we know about God. And I think as I get into this one, you'll get this real quickly. Have you ever looked at another human being and said, God wouldn't approve of your behavior? So every week I come in, I have to talk to Pastor Gary about his weekend. Hey, Gary, God just wouldn't have approved of your behavior this weekend. No, I don't do that. But you know how easy it is to do that to another. And parents, we do that to our kids all the time. Well, God wouldn't like you doing that. We pick up the lightning bolt of hellfire and brimstone and we throw it down on another human being, or we look out there in culture at something that someone else is doing and we're like, you're disobeying God. And because I know God and I can express God to you, I will tell you God doesn't love you. That's wrong. That's false. It's compartmentalizing God. Equally, I think sometimes we bleed out for God. We get into the compassionate realm. And like peace, love, dove with God, everything's fine, and everybody who does anything is okay, and it's just as long as you don't hurt anybody. That would be equally looking at God in just one of his attributes. There's this thing in Scripture called law and gospel. I don't know if you've ever heard this one. It's big in Lutheran theology, big in the Scripture, that's why. St. Paul writes about it in the book of Romans, and the book of Galatians will give you a wonderful expression of law and gospel. Martin Luther built his faith journey upon this law and gospel moment. You need the law, people of God. We need to know when we break down and we are not doing what God wants us to do. But we also know that the law does not identify us. Doesn't condemn us. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We receive grace. That's the gospel. We don't deserve it, but we receive it. And so I would encourage you not to look at God in just a compartmentalized moment of either just the law-giving God or over here the compassionate God. See God in his totality. He brings law and he brings compassion simultaneously. And compassion wins because God takes us, broken, sinful people, and makes us whole again. And I think one of the final things that I wrestle with is even when I can identify that I need to pay attention, I recognize this about our human journey. We lose focus. I remember the day that I really felt Jesus Christ impacting my life. Now, I was baptized as a little child. My parents raised me in the church. I went to church every Sunday. I was ordained a pastor, but it was after my ordination, probably a couple years after, that finally Jesus spoke deep into my heart and said, you need to do this with jet fuel in your veins. You need to do this as if you're running a race and you're at sprint value the whole way. And I remember the early phases of once that got inside of me and I knew the old was gone and the new had come. I lived like, people thought that I was a little bizarre. But I wanted everybody to come to church. I wanted my family members to get to know who Jesus was on a deeper level. And I gave everything to the least of these. And now over time, and this is what happens to us as people of God and human beings, is we go through the next iteration of that. And guess what happens? We become more comfortable with the first iteration. And then we go through the third or the fourth iteration of that. And we take what has these significant edges to it and we begin to round the edges. We do it. And so our relationship with Jesus, we know it deep in our heart, but it doesn't have the intensity it needs to have. We lose focus. It gets more difficult. So you know, I mentioned earlier my running playlist. I'm doing this ridiculous thing of running 26.2 miles again. I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't. Well, I do know why I'm doing it. Because there is a ridiculous thing called people on the face of this globe who do not have clean water. And before God, that's not ridiculous. And so I went out yesterday for a run and I hit the humidity wall, my nemesis. I got to tell you, I thought doing it for a second time was going to be easier. It's not. Sure, I know what it's going to take to get across the finish line on October 7th at 26.2 miles. I know that. I know the journey of what it's like from the starting line all the way through every mile to get there. But the one thing I also know is how difficult it is. And sometimes when you know how difficult it is, it seems to be a bigger giant that's kind of breathing fire back into your life because it's easier to give up. Because you say to yourself, why do I want to do that again? And I believe when we stand before the living Lord and he calls on us to worship his holy name and to say, I know who you are, God. I want to live it out. He doesn't want us rounding off the edges. He doesn't want us giving up the second time through or the third time through or the fourth time through or the fifth time through. He wants our pulse to be beating as strong as the day that we were baptized. He wants our pulse to be beating as strong as the day we met him for the first time, the day we knew we were forgiven and made whole. He wants our pulse to beat on fire for him. But you have to be able to say every day you wake up, I know who you are, God. You're the God who took this sinful human being and made me whole. You're the God who gave me gifts, helped me to use them. You are the God that I want to pay attention to. Pay attention to. To allow your pulse to beat for God.
Lord, let me see as you see.
Take some time to think about how God is present in your life.